Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Bay Area, it's Brandon Pajemski. You're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Okay, Podowski.
Poughkeepsie Kid.
Let's get it together now.
Trubisky.
This is not breaking news worthy because it's not definitive.
Podowski.
Jaminski.
We got some Poughkeepsie Kid news.
Podzimski.
Thank you.
Podzimski. That's my Sean.
Podzimski.
Thank you. Podzimski. I like it. I've been working
Podzimski.
On it.
We got another good impression.
Thank you.
Dibs doing Shams just for one word.
I do a lot of one-word impressions.
Podzimski.
Yeah, that's my Shams. Podzimski.
You hit the tone perfectly.
Podzimski.
All right.
So here's the latest on Podzimski. Brandon Podzimski, this is courtesy of Slates on Twitter. Brandon Podzimski will warm up tonight before the Warriors fully decide on his status. Steve Kerr, quote, something he ate.
Oh, okay.
Damn, those Houston restaurants.
Barbecue, right?
Room service.
Could be.
I don't know. Barbecue? I mean, yeah, I'm sure they got places. I always hear Kansas City and Memphis.
Okay.
On the barbecue.
Yeah, I'm still getting my way back into barbecue after 30 years as a vegetarian. And, you know, Oakland's good for barbecue. Haven't gotten into a lot of big time barbecue places. I don't really love barbecue. It's just a little too messy for me. I don't like food that makes me have multiple napkins.
Do you like wings?
I don't love wings.
Okay.
Especially because, like, wings is mostly bone and skin. You don't get a lot of meat. It's
I'm
like
with
sauce
you.
And skin.
I'm with you. This might be the most controversial take on this show. This is two people that think the cost-benefit analysis of wings is off.
It's weak.
I'm not saying that they're not good. I'm saying there's not enough of it. It's kind of like, for me, having three drinks or four drinks. It's fun. It's not worth the hangover. It's a bad cost-benefit analysis.
Depends.
I'll stop at one or two drinks and feel good the next day.
And I have a hard time with wings and people. It's like, do you want the flats or do you want the drums? The drumsticks are not wings. That's the leg. That's not a wing.
Well, now you're just overthinking it.
I'm not.
I don't care about that.
The wing is literally the wing.
All right.
I can just confirm that this is definitely the most controversial take the show has ever had.
Okay.
Both the wings and then Willard saying four or five drinks is a bad thing, too.
Three or four.
Three or four.
You're not 50. You don't know. Mm-hmm. When I was your age, I was fine with four drinks. It doesn't work that way anymore.
That's exactly what I said to Randy. He's who gets hung over off of three drinks?
I don't get hung over off of three drinks, but that's when we start heading down that road. Decision-making gets messed up, and then you get benched by your coach. I'm sorry for the stray. That's the bottom line. Hangovers last like a day and a half when you're 45 or north.
Or 30.
Well, that's your problem.
What?
How many did you have last night?
Well, not last night.
But, oh.
You know.
Sunday night?
Saturday.
Yeah.
Carter got married, man.
You sound like it's still with you.
No, I'm good.
You're good?
Hangovers do stick with you, though.
Yeah. Dude. They're the worst. They're the worst. That's my whole goal. Don't ever get hungover again. Period.
Yeah.
It's not worth it. I hate it.
Well,
I don't yike it.
Yeah, fair enough. I don't yike it either. You know what I also don't yike is being the old guy at the office where you got all these youngsters running around getting married, and I'm in my 50s. I can't sniff an invite to any of these nuptials.
And what are you going to do with it anyway?
I'm going to show up and have 3 to 4 drinks and get hungover.
To be fair, Carter didn't invite, I don't think, anyone from the station. People just met him after to help him celebrate.
Yeah, gotcha. There you go.
Gotcha.
You go.
Again, I wasn't
out in the
even,
marina.
Yeah.
I wasn't even conferenced in on the after party.
You just said no thanks. You have said no thanks.
It's not the point of whether or not
it
I would
is
show
the
up.
Point.
You know what the point is you get to be our age and you're in your 50s now. Not like Asa, who's about to turn 13 in June. These youngsters, they're doing young people things. I want to do young people things.
Bargatze does a great skit on this. You get into your mid-40s. It starts in your 20s. Somebody looks at you and goes, I don't even care where we're going. Let's go. You get into your 30s. You're like, I'll go, but where are we going? And I'd like to drive separate. You get into your 40s, you're like, I'm pissed off that you thought I would go. Don't invite me. I can't believe you thought I would actually leave this house.
But then you get in your 50s and you don't even get the first right of refusal.
Fine.
Yeah.
Fine. I'm not going.
Well, I'm not going either.
I'm not going to
sounded
your
like,
thing.
You sounded like goo, Dibs.
Yeah. I got my
also
thing.
Also in his 50s.
I'm not going to your thing. I got my own thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to be invited so that I can say no. As opposed to not getting invited and feeling like I missed out on the opportunity right, to say no.
Watch this. Watch.
Chickering, I thought we were boys.
I'll run a test with you right now.
All right.
I'm going straight from Warriors Live to the lovely Christie's house. She's got food, and we're going to watch the Warrior game. You want to come?
No.
There, see?
No, I don't.
See?
I don't want to watch live sports with you and yours.
Why?
Because we watch it differently.
No, we don't. You've never watched a Warrior game with us in your life. You've
watched the Super Bowl.
Right. We weren't on the same team. You were rooting against my son.
Incorrect.
No, you, yes, you were.
I was rooting for the team I always root for.
Who's that?
The referees.
Oh, God.
There are three teams on the floor tonight.
I stand on business.
There will be three teams on the court tonight.
I don't need to say anymore.
Yeah.
You just buried yourself.
David Guthrie, I'm counting on you. And Courtney Kirkland and Sean Corbin. You got a veteran crew now.
Where the hell is Scott Foster? I feel like I haven't heard from that guy in forever.
Jail. Interesting you break that up.
Yeah, he's at the El Dorado right now.
So incorrect. For those of you who don't follow this as closely as I do, actually was wondering that same thing. Because he's yet to ref a playoff game. But he's been in the replay center a couple of times. So either he's choosing that, or maybe there's something else afoot.
He's been down low. Suspended.
They just break him out when a series needs to be extended.
Game four
the
or
extender.
Five.
Yeah. A watch party at Scott Foster's house. Tim Donaghy and Dibs, the only two invited.
Man.
Dibs, Grandy, Evan, and I are. We're all watching the game here at the station. You want to stick around?
Had it not been a last minute pressurized invite, I probably would have.
I
got to clear the decks.
Don't.
We were hoping you were going to say no.
Yeah. Don't invite me.
Of course, it's a no. You guys don't want to spend time with
Thank
me.
Thank God.
Yeah. Jeez. How fun is that?
Might be some
These
leftover
three squares,
pizza in the other
exactly.
Room.
Sitting around having diet sodas, geeking out on their player fantasy underdog. Woohoo, what a rager. Pass the iced tea, Grandy.
Player fantasy underdog.
Oh, my God.
What?
You should have stopped when you used the word youngsters, but you keep sounding older as you go.
Whippersnappers. So I either go to Willard's and watch him and Christy hold hands, or I stay here with you three squares and watch you fight over diet iced tea.
Well,
I'm out.
Don't say you weren't invited.
Yeah, you're right.
Okay.
Last minute. Unimpactful invites. It's fine. I might show up to both of them. First half here, second half there.
That'd be amazing if you could pull both off.
Yeah, doubtful.
Yeah. All right. Oh, God. We got some serious royalty on the line. Woo! Okay. OG Filmo Mike. OG Filmo Mike.
I love it.
In the city. Let's start there. What's up, Filmo Mike?
Hey, fellas. How y'all doing today?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm okay, man. Just getting ready for the big showdown. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Just wanted to discuss some keys with y'all, man. And the main key I wanted to go with was, of course, the turnovers, right?
Absolutely.
Secondly, limit the offensive rebound because they killed us the last game on that. And thirdly, I think for that to happen, you have to play Looney a little bit more. And I don't know if you guys saw this play where Steph ran around on the baseline and Looney gave him that ball like it was on a tray, like he was a waiter. And he took that ball, and it was so pretty. He just lit. He'd been playing so long with him, you know. It was like clockwork. And thirdly, and the other key I was going to say was, Jimmy Butler makes a great point about turnovers. By just getting a shot at the basket, you have an opportunity to score or get fouled. And a great example of that was that shot that Steph made. You know what I mean, fellas?
I absolutely know what you mean, OG. I think, like, all of that analysis is really good, but for me, I'm there's one word that stands out. It's just turnovers.
Yeah.
That's it. I think the whole series, everything that we talk about actually comes back to that. It's like, oh, Houston needs to get out in transition. Well, how do they do that?
Turnovers.
Well, the Warriors need to really kind of, on offense, they need to attack the basket. All right. Well, what do you need to avoid when you're attacking the basket?
Yeah, turnovers.
Okay, like that's it. Don't turn the ball over. You win. Period.
Yeah. Well, Steve Kerr talked about it as a possession game against Houston, and he's right because they're going to beat you on the offensive glass. And if you also turn it over a ton, they're going to win the, quote, possession game. And that means they're going to get more shots up than you. And if they get more shots up than you do, all of a sudden their lack of accuracy becomes less of a problem for the Houston Rockets. If they shoot 15 more times than the Warriors, they don't have to shoot as high of a percentage to still be as effective. And the other part of it is obviously the three versus the two. Houston does not shoot the three very well. So the only way Houston can survive in any one game is by winning the possession game and shooting a decent percentage from the floor.
Guess who else is on the line?
The not-so-OG Filmo Mike?
No. One more guess.
I don't know, Mark. I mean, it could be any one of our...
No. Thank...
Curt in Hayward Hills.
Hi, Curt.
Hey, the best sports boys in the Bay Area, Willard and Dibs. Let me tell you, Willard, you're right, brother. We are number two in the Western Conference. You know why? Because nobody has three elite players on any team in the West. Nobody. And as far as Houston, they're not going to win tonight. The only way that we can lose this game, we all discussed it, is turnovers. And that's not happening. You got the greatest shooter, Curry, defensive player, Green, and Jimmy Butler hungry for a championship. And what about Houston? They're all nothing but young little punks. Wait a minute. The coach, he's never won a playoff game. You're going to tell me that Steve Kerr and the veterans are going to let these little kids beat us? Forget about it. It's a win tonight, and you might be able to get the brooms out after tonight. How about that, brother?
I tell you now, Kurt, first of all, I would never want to get in the way of one of your forget about it.
Yep.
Ever. You do know that the Rockets coach was also the Celtics coach when the Warriors played them in the NBA Finals, right? So he has won some playoff games now.
Well, maybe I didn't do a little research on him too well, but they're still going to lose, brother. They're going down. They have nobody with any type of playoff experience. They may rebound us, but that's about it. Curry, Green, Jimmy, did you see those three brothers, the three boys, the way they took care of that game? Butler's on a rampage. And another thing is, did you see what Jimmy Butler said about, well, I don't want to say anything bad about him.
What now?
But he said, you know who it is.
Oh.
You know who comes off the bench and he's not good.
Are you talking about Buddy Hield?
Buddy Hield, you know what Jimmy said about him?
What?
He said, hey, buddy, stop dribbling the ball. And I think Jimmy does not like him out on the field with them. So he may keep his ass on the bench.
Okay. All right. What if Buddy Hield wanted to come watch the game with you tonight? What would you say?
Forget about it!
There it is! There it goes, Kurt. I didn't know how he was going to answer that because I was actually thinking if he comes to watch the game with you, he won't play.
Yeah.
So that actually maybe I thought Kurt would be into it, but apparently not.
No, not into it, even though, yeah, that makes perfect sense. If you don't want him to play, then have him come to your house and watch. But and Buddy walks in and Kurt turns around and just gives him a get out of here. Buddy's like, okay. I mean, I'm trying to watch the game.
Oh, gosh.
Pretty classic.
That's ridiculous.
It's fun.
Yeah. No, it's fantastic.
Yeah. The turnover thing, if you look at it just in these matchups, the Warriors turned it over 22 times against Houston in the NBA Cup game. They lost by 1 point. And we talk about the possession game. In that game, they took one less shot than Houston. Even though they turned it over 22 times, they still only had one less field goal attempt. So it comes down to offensive rebounds and turnovers, and that's why they won game one. They got dominated on the glass, yet they didn't turn it over a bunch, and so they were able to keep it somewhat contained.
Yeah, and then there's the whole, like, Houston's not good at offensive basketball thing, too. Like, I mean, listen, there's no way to say this without it sounding like I'm being a jerk, but, like, let's be honest about something that I don't think has really been kind of talked about yet. If you took all of these seeds, and this is kind of what I'm trying to do today, if you took these seeds away from these teams, hell, bring the East into this. Good. Bring the East in here too. And you just put all the rosters out there. You land from space. You don't know anything about where the season has been, and you don't know who is seeded what. And all you're presented with is rosters. That's it. And you go, all right, give me the team that does not have a guy where you can say, will you please go get us a bucket? Out of all 16 teams, the Rockets would absolutely win that poll. They would win that poll every time. And that matters in the playoffs. It matters. I think it's wonderful what they're building. I think that they're going to need to add some people to it and continue to grow. And I do think that they might win tonight, and they could still put a scare in the Warriors in this series. I'm not even saying that. I don't know why we look at this roster and think that this is a team that can advance in the playoffs. They don't have a dude. They don't have a dude who can just go get you a bucket.
Well, Şengün can get you a bucket.
Yeah, but
absolutely.
I don't see him that way. He's a player who has to get the ball in a certain spot. Like, even as a big guy, he's not like a Nikola Jokic who you can give the ball to anywhere on the court. I just don't see him as – he's a very good player. I don't see him as a premium scorer.
Well, he's not a premium scorer at all. But if you look at Houston and the totality of their year, it's not like they're a team that needed to win 102 to 101 all the time. And I'm just looking at their game log, and they have – 130 or more points 10 times. They scored more than 120 25 times. So they had many, many games, almost a third of their season, where they scored like a real offensive NBA team. And if you look at those games, the one common thread is the three ball.
Sure.
Those are nights where they were hitting threes, and they have, you know, a game where they were 22 of 53 from three. And they have a lot of games where they shot a good percentage from three. And that, for me, is the key to the difference for the Rockets between Game 1 and Game 2. Game 1, they played a pretty good game. Defensively, they were pretty solid. They got on the glass, and it came down to shooting the basketball, and they were terrible. And I don't think that Fred VanVleet or Jalen Green are that bad. Now, they're not going to be super great because they're going up against a good defense.
They'll be better.
Expecting them to be that bad, if they are that bad, well, then Houston's going to get swept.
Yeah,
they might as well get out of here right now.
I think they'll be better. But the Warriors might be, too. The Warriors might be, too. So, we'll see. Let's go to Rich in Fremont. Hi, Rich. Thanks for calling.
What's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, man.
I agree with you, Will. I think definitely, you know, reducing the amount of turnovers is definitely key to tonight's game. But on the other end, you know, good shooters sometimes have bad nights. So this could be one of those nights where Steph is not putting up, you know, the 28 and, you know, 32, 34-point games. And if that's so, then they're going to need support scoring. And this is where, in my opinion, Buddy Hield has to step up, man. He has been playing terribly. okay? His shot selection hasn't been good. He's way down on three-point shooting. And this is like in his last five games. He's just not been shooting well. And that's why they signed him. They signed him to shoot. So it's like, if you're not shooting, then what are you doing? You're obviously not contributing to the team. And I'm sorry, Dibs, you're killing me, man, with this. When I go root for the team, I do, really? The refs? Come on, man. We don't have a league of ref teams. So how are you going to root for the refs as a team? Come on, man. Give me something better than that.
Well, you obviously have never officiated, and Rich, I appreciate the phone call, but when you are an official, what they teach you is that when you go out there, there are three teams on the floor. And so I'm obviously tongue-in-cheek. I don't root for the refs, but I do understand that the officials are out there working as a three-man team, and they're competing against their own selves to have a good game. And so when you referee, you're taught that about you're the third team on the floor, and I'm just joking around about that, but it's something that I certainly watch for, not in the moment, but as the game goes on and you start to see how it's officiated, it definitely in the NBA, it is a big deal as to how the game can go.
Look, we all have our quirky things in life. I get joy out of watching you try to talk through this with people because there just aren't very many yous out there.
No,
when
people
it comes
don't
to,
understand.
Well, but it's not that people don't understand.
No, they don't get it, Mark. And they should refrain from commenting about something they don't know about.
I don't think they want to get it. That's the point.
Well, then all you people need to just pipe down and let the refs do their thing because you don't know what we go through out there on the floor.
Like rooting for the refs, it would be like, it's just odd. It's not wrong. It's just different. Like, I'm not going to go to Home Depot and start rooting for the employees there. Like, I hope that you're able to cut that wood perfectly. Like, it's just there are certain jobs in the world that nobody signs up to root for those people.
Yeah, that's where you and I are different. I go into Safeway.
No, that's where you're just different.
Sometimes I'll see you in the aisles, and I walk down aisle 4, and there's all those canned vegetables, and you look over, and they're all front-facing and lined up perfect. I find an employee,
I used to do that.
I did, too.
I used to do that.
When you got a face, and you got to, like, rotate the stock, and you line everything up perfectly. When I see a good aisle, I'll let them know, hey, Jim, did you face aisle 4? You nailed it, bro. Mm. High five.
Yeah. See, I actually find that more relatable than the ref thing.
It's all the same. It's unsung heroes.
Well, maybe. Or it's people who are doing a job that directly helps you. If the garbanzo...
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Beans have been pulled out of the back and on the front of the shelf. That's helpful.
When I get to an intersection or a road where there's road work and there's one-way traffic control, I will always throw the hand out and say hello or thank you for doing the slow and the stop. It's a thankless job.
Absolutely.
I want them to know that I appreciate them flowing the traffic.
Right. But the refs, that's the opposite. They get in the way of our dreams.
Yeah, see, that's you.
They get in the way of our dreams.
As an ignorant hater.
It's me and everybody else. You know about our engaging Dub Nation Twitter poll. We told you about it off the top. On the court and in life, we want you to vote every single time in our engaging Dub Nation poll on 95.7 The Game's Twitter page. Every time there's a game, like tonight, it's presented by Shaneco, your friend and jeweler. Tonight, what we were asking is, do you feel like Warrior fans are getting overconfident heading into game 2 against the Rockets, particularly because they got that game 1 win? And check this out. Man, it is almost even, Steven. The no's, which is what you and I voted, have it by one vote.
Wow.
50.4% of fans who voted say no. Warrior fans are not getting overconfident, but 49.6% said yes.
Yeah, these questions always amuse me because as a fan, I'm allowed to get as overconfident as I possibly can. And unless I have a direct line to, I don't know, Steve Kerr or somebody on the team and I can influence them, it doesn't matter how overconfident I am.
No, it doesn't matter, but a lot of what we talk about doesn't matter.
Well, it all matters.
No, just here having fun.
Right.
Yeah, and I like...
For me, overconfidence and jinxes, none of that is like really matters. I don't, even though Steph Curry listens to everything, I don't think he'll tune in when he gets back to town.
No,
if they're up 2-0 and he thinks, you know what? The fans think we have it in the bag.
Yeah, but
I think so too.
But fans talking to fans is part of what we do. Like I would argue when there's a team that you really don't like, you know, rivalries and whatnot, it's not actually, sometimes it is, but it's rarely the players that you actually don't like. It's the fans. It's the fans.
It depends.
Like, I don't have a problem with Austin Reeves.
You got a problem with Memphis?
Not all of them.
Well,
I don't have any problem with Jaren Jackson Jr.
Ja Morant?
Not my fave.
Right.
Not my fave. And I don't really know many Memphis fans. So sometimes it's that kind of rivalry. But, like, if you want to talk about, like, the Lakers or the Cowboys, I don't have a problem with CeeDee Lamb. But Cowboy fans, especially people who've never even been to Dallas.
Dodger fans.
Annoying.
Yeah.
Like kind of insufferable. And a lot of people think that about Warrior fans too, by the way, if you're not a Warrior fan.
Go Dodgers. Yeah. And it just depends on a lot of these I do think are player based. And, you know, depends on the team. I think the Philadelphia Eagles is kind of both in a way.
Yeah.
Where, you know, it's the players, it's the coach. Hey, I'm Big Dom. It's the fans, it's all of them. Yeah. Hey, we got a ring. What do you guys have? You got nothing.
No, we've got our dignity. All right, we're sponsored by Cache Creek Casino Resort. Guess what, everybody? We're getting close to game time. It's an hour away. Warriors Live is next on Willard and Dibs.
Maybe I didn't do a little research on them too well.